And we are live. What's going on, fellas? It's Masters Week. This is episode 4 of the Nuclear Golf Podcast. My name is John. I'm the co-owner of Nuclear Golf and TW Legion. I'm joined by my co-host tonight, Hutch Bennett, Mike Carbone, and Tim Bowman. Today's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. Better sex is just a few clicks away. Visit bluechew.com today to learn more. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode. All right, fellas, we've got a massive episode this week. It's Masters Week. It's the best week of the entire year for golf. I mean, we've had a lot of mediocre tournaments this season, but it's finally here. It's Augusta National, the Masters. We've got players from both LIV and the PGA Tour competing against one another in one of the best fields all season long. Super pumped about it. We're going to get into round one preview, obviously, for tomorrow. We've also got a lot to talk about from today with the par three contest, some news surrounding the Champions Dinner, JT and Max Homa with the caddy situation, lots of headlines to get into from the LIV side of things, some talk about Rory. There's some news today about the 2028 Olympics. And then we're going to end the week's show with, we're going to talk about a viral Masters moment. It's the 20th year anniversary for an insane moment that happened. You might remember it. It was in 2005 by a man with a red shirt on Sunday.
Wonder what that could be.
Yeah, I wonder. We'll get into that. But let's start off today's show talking about round one, which begins tomorrow. Hutch, you must be excited. The Masters is finally here. You going to be watching at work or what?
I'll watch wherever I am. the plan is to watch at work, right? The plan is to do that, but I'll try to cut up out of here a little bit early so I can get home and put it on the big TV and then have my other two TVs going with the feature group coverage. So should be a good day tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mike, you're going to be watching tomorrow, obviously. You know, there's a lot of featured groups this week. Did you have a look at some of the featured pairings?
Yeah, I did. So a couple pairings that really intrigued me. I've got the Scotty and JT grouping with an amateur. That's going to be, I really feel for that kid because Masters debut, and he's going up against arguably the best golfer in the world, reigning champ. That's going to be pretty tough, but, you know, super exciting for him. Pumped for Jose Luis, the Colin Morikawa, Joaquin Neiman, and Minwoo Lee group. That'll be really interesting. I think they're all going to have a good day tomorrow. And then the best hot mic group in terms of yelling at your golf ball, the Spieth, Kim, and Hatton group. that's going to be arguably the most entertaining group, in my opinion. And then Rory, Aubert, and Akshay, that's going to be box office too.
Yeah, that, yeah. Rory group looks nice. I'm excited to watch that one.
Yeah, Rory group should be awesome. Even the Phil group there, Phil and Keegan Bradley are paired together. That's like a blast from the past, the Ryder Cup there. So that should be fun to watch. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be a featured group on the Masters site, obviously, probably not, but we've got some.
They had a run though. They had a great run as partners in the Ryder Cup. Like, that was an exciting grouping to have back then.
Oh, absolutely. That was
insane. You know, Phil, Phil's gonna try to make some noise up in there this week. He's ready to rock. He played pretty good last week at Doral, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be watching all day at work tomorrow. Even working on the phone, the Masters app is so incredible. Like, I'll probably have it on holes 10, 11, 12, and 13 for a while, 15 and 16 for a while. I mean, I'm just going to be moving all about. But one grouping that wasn't up there that I'm kind of going to follow tomorrow is Bernhard Langer's group tomorrow on Friday, because it's his last Masters. I think it would be incredible if he made the cut. He's just one of the most underrated golfers that I've ever seen before. Nobody ever talks about him, but yet he's always winning. He's always making the cut, or not always, but he makes the cut a bunch. And for the last go around, I'd love to see him make the cut. I've always been a fan. So he's one group I'll have my eye on in the background, just seeing how he's playing. Cause you know, dude's going to be hitting a 4-wood into every hole.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he said it earlier this week that that's the reason why he's stopping playing the Masters, right? Because he can't compete at this length anymore. No. So he's going to be hitting, like you said, 4-wood into a lot of holes. And that's fine because he's clearly good at it, especially if you remember back to PNC, if he gets to fluff up his lie a little bit, that'd be nice for him.
Yeah, oh. That was ridiculous.
Bernhard Langer, that was the final round of the PNC with Tiger, right? He was fluffing up some lies there and ended up winning in the playoff with his son.
Was it
his son, right? It was his son. But Bernhard Langer, it's interesting. This is his last Masters, obviously, right? So he actually was gifted a custom Mercedes-Benz S-Class by Mercedes. He's been an ambassador for the company for like 40 years, which is insane in itself. That's a long relationship for a golfer and a sponsor. Bernhard Langer, custom S-Class. It had like his autograph. Like he had custom Masters stitching on the back of the seats. It was really sick. This green kind of metallic paint job on it looked really awesome. So, and then there was a picture of him like sitting in it and whatnot. So yeah, it's Bernhard's last go around Augusta. He said his goal is to make the cut. So hopefully we see some fireworks from Bernhard Langer. Maybe he can make the weekend. That would be awesome. He said his goal is no longer to win, obviously, at this point in his career. Another guy that we're going to probably keep our eye on too is Freddie Couples. He, you know, if everything goes well with his back and he doesn't tighten up and stuff like that, he can make the weekend. If he kind of hits the right shots, he knows the course, right? He's played it so many times. He's got the experience around the greens. So that's a guy that can actually make the weekend if everything kind of goes right.
He's a made cut machine, that guy. He, like you say, he just knows the course so well. Freddie's one of everybody's favorites, right? Like he's somebody that everybody roots for. He's just a nice guy. He did try to get a little loose with the media, I guess, a few weeks ago, but he's just everybody's favorite. When he goes out to Augusta, particularly, everybody flashes back to when he won that crazy shot with it holding up on the edge of the water on 12. Like he's wild. I know Tim was alive and probably a nice strapping young man when that happened, while the rest of us were all children and in diapers. maybe Tim, you can tell me a little bit more about him.
Oh, he's awesome. When I was a strapping young man and you guys were all little kids.
We just know his Tiger's friend.
Yeah, he was Boom Boom. Like they made clubs called Boom Boom after him because he hit the ball so far and yet he swung so easy. He made it look ridiculously easy. And like, you know, if it wasn't for his back issues, boy, I wonder how many he could have won, because he was the smoothest golfer around. He could hit it a country mile and it looked like nothing.
Yeah, he was Jake Knapp before Jake Knapp.
Yeah.
The only problem is with Freddie too, besides the back, his putting cost him several majors big time, especially the short putts. You know, like the lags were never really his problem. He was always a solid lag putter, but you get him inside 5 feet, you know, he just gets jittery and something goes wrong mentally, probably, because pretty much everything at that point.
Yeah, and there wasn't like a middle ground either, Mike. It was like he could make 55 in a row or he could go like 2 out of 20. I mean, it wasn't like it was that bad. Up and down, it was that up and down. So I hope he plays well tomorrow too, because he's one of my favorites. He's, you know, I'm almost his age. So
he's the same age as my dad, and that's his favorite player. Shout out to my dad if he's watching.
Absolutely. Fellas, let's talk a little bit about the weather this week and the course conditions. It's looking like we're going to have temperatures kind of in the lower 70 degree Fahrenheit range this week. And it also looks like it's going to be sunny, I mean, for most of the week during the day. So that'll be good. Maybe it's going to play like a typical championship style conditions at Augusta National. I mean, wind is pretty low overall. Apart from Friday, there could be some 20-mile-per-hour gusts on Friday. But Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, I mean, it seems like the wind is going to be pretty much down at 12-mile-per-hour gusts on the other days this week. So, I mean,
It's classic Georgia weather. Like, as somebody who lives in Georgia, I live like 3.5 hours away from Augusta. I can tell you that last Friday and Saturday, it was like 86 degrees out. And then we get to Monday morning and the low, it's when I walk outside Monday morning, it's 38 degrees. Like, this is just crazy stuff. And it's kind of stuff that makes you thankful that, you know, we're not having to worry about Tiger's back and stuff this week, but it's going to be interesting. I'm glad that it's going to be in the 70s. Like, that's going to be nice. And add a little wind in on Friday, like you say, it should make it a little more difficult. It's going to be super nice. I'm excited for the week. I just can't wait. This is my favorite week of the year.
Yeah, mine too. Like, by far, it's not even close. Like, I get excited for this in December. I'm ready to roll, like, that first commercial, and I'm like, man, first major. And it's just, dude, it's so immaculate how the Masters runs a golf tournament. From everything is just perfect, from seeing the guys working at the dinner, you know, ironing, making sure every crease is perfect. You know, the practice areas are perfect. Every picture that everybody posts that I've seen on Twitter the last 4 days is a picture of like a painting. And How could you just not be so fired up for this tournament? And the other thing too about the weather, it looks like finally both sides of the draw will have decent draws. So nobody will, it doesn't look to set up to have one be more favorable than the other. So I think that'll be kind of cool too.
Yeah, I saw that there's going to be some rain maybe on Friday too, so I don't know if it's something to pay attention to as well. I think that's early in the morning, though.
I'm seeing like 20%.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's
nothing crazy.
It's not going to happen. If anything, it'll be just like your Georgia spring shower that pops up and goes away. It's very similar to how Florida is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now, another interesting thing too is just kind of like how these conditions are going to play into the winning score on Sunday. If we have, you know, typical kind of Georgia weather for Thursday through Sunday with those lower winds and low 70 temperatures, I mean, we could have a winning score like around that minus 10 to minus 12, or we could have something more in the minus 15 to minus 20 range, right? If you look back at recent history, like 2024 minus 11, 2023 minus 12, 2022 minus 10, minus 10 in 2021. And then obviously the 2020 year was a COVID year when DJ won, it was minus 20. I mean, the course played extremely soft that year, if I remember correctly, right?
It was in November.
Completely different to all ours. November 2020, yep.
Yeah, that Masters, like, I mean, it counts, obviously, but
it wasn't April conditions at all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The course played much different. Like, even when Tiger won in 2019, it was minus 13. And then in the years prior, you know, we had minus 5, minus 9, minus 18, minus 8. So it'll be interesting to see. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be around like that minus 13, minus 14 number. That's just kind of my instinct based on what we're seeing this week. But could be closer to that minus 10, minus 11 as well.
I think it just depends too on what they do with the course, right? Like, because they're obviously going to make it play a little more difficult than it did for the women the other day in the women's amateur. Because when I saw that, I saw one of those girls, and that was great, by the way. That the whole thing was great. But when I saw that, you know, you had a girl out there shooting like 7 under, I'm like, don't do this to the Masters, please. Don't do this to the Masters. Don't make it a birdie fest, please. Don't. So hopefully they firm it up a little bit. I know we had some heavy rain coming through earlier this week because we got hit up in the north part of the state too. But I'm sure with the sub air and everything out there, they can firm it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they can pump the sub air systems there at Augusta. I'm going to save our picks for later, closer to the end of the show, obviously. I'm not going to reveal it right now. $3.6 million prize for the Masters this year. The other thing I just wanted to touch on quickly before we get into some stuff about the par three, the concession prices is insane. You could buy absolutely, we have a graphic if Joey can put it up. $77 gets you every single item on the menu at Augusta National.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I saw that tweet. That's just crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy because you can't, nowhere in the world can you do that. That's just wild.
It's $77 for a hot dog and a beer at a 49ers game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's California, though.
Everything about that tariffs on that beer class.
Yeah, probably.
What I think is funny, though, it just goes to show you that, like, Augusta doesn't need your money. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care about your money at all. Like, this is just the way it should be. And if people didn't have to worry about dollars and cents all the time, then, you know, it may be that way at other places. But this is the way it should be. That's why it's the best tournament in the world. Doesn't get any better than this.
Funny you say that, Hutch, because one of the players made a comment during their presser, I think, about it's the one of the only tournaments where every group that comes up to the green, they clap no matter if you hit the green or not. It, like, they're just appreciative that the golfers are playing their course. And
Southern hospitality, baby.
It's nuts. I mean, I didn't even think about it until they actually said it. And I'm like, that's true. When I'm watching a broadcast, watch. They'll clap for every group that comes up. You could hit your ball in the water or you'll hit your ball a foot away. It's the same clap. And it just, the tournament's just different. It's just different.
Did you guys see the tomato pie that's been added to the food menu for this year?
The what? Oh, tomato pie.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's just Chicago pizza. No, I don't know.
No, I was gonna say
that's my New York roots trashing Chicago pizza. Sorry for anyone that's listening. That's
pretty sure Chicago that's style. A deep South thing, and there's a lot of deep South things that I don't get into. That's one of them, but I have heard of this before. So Hutch, I can't explain what it is.
Hutch, you've been to the Masters, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
I have not. In fact, though, I had some people going on Monday that they were going to buy me a bunch of stuff. And then, of course, it got, you know, rained out. And being 3.5 hours away, like, it's not like the Augusta said, like, we're going to release an update at 8 a.m., right? So you can't, like, you have to decide if you're going to make that drive or not. And you could get all the way down there and be like, hey, we're not letting anybody in today. And then you just turn around and come back. And if you would have waited to leave until they announced they were opening it at 8 a.m., then you get there and they close it for the day. So they just ended up not going. It's a total bummer, though.
All right. Let's get into the par three contest. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to watch any of it today. It's such a great event on Wednesday of the Masters, obviously, because, you know, the players get to go out there. They bring their families. They have their wives there on the bag as well. And today actually brought a lot of moments from the par three contest. You know, Nico Echeverria won the par three contest with a score of, I believe it was 5 under par, shot 22. Yeah, it's par 27, right? So he shot 22.
Yeah, he went on the second playoff hole.
It's a three-hole playoff.
Three-hole playoff with JJ Spahn.
Yeah.
Hutch's
guy. JJ lost another playoff.
That's your guy, Hutch.
Yeah. And
sorry, no shade to JJ.
And him, Nick winning the par three contest just deleted him from any picks I may have had.
Like I said, there was a bunch of moments from the par three. Koepka, Tom Hoagie, Keegan Bradley, they all had aces today. Yeah. I mean, which is awesome. You always get some aces at the par three contest. The conditions are favorable to, I mean, there's just literally always an ace or a few aces during the par three
contest. Gary Player almost had two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 90 years old.
Yeah. Every year.
There is that that theory about those greens funnel to the hole.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's awesome watching the kids hit. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah. Poppy McIlroy.
Yeah,
that was incredible today.
Yeah, here we go. We can't actually play the videos, unfortunately, because the copyright. But Poppy McIlroy drained like at least 15 footer, I think it was more like 20. Like from where she's standing, actually, is where she hit the putt from. So like that's like 25 feet. She just like barely tapped the ball and it went straight down the hill and found its way into the cup.
When I watched that, John, I thought that you guys, because I saw it on the nuclear count, I thought that you guys put it in slow-mo for some reason. I was like, why is the ball just not moving? But what I thought was most hilarious about it is her reaction was just stone cold. Like she just didn't care for yeah. either she didn't yeah. care or she's like, what do you expect? Like that's yeah. what you're supposed to do. It goes in.
I think she was pretty shy. You know, I don't know if she yeah. knew what to do with all those people, you know, with that huge roar. That was just incredible yeah. to see. And you could tell Rory was super proud too.
Yeah. Shane Lowry's daughter also drained like a 10 or 12 footer as well. You know, when she made it, she actually went crazy after she made it. I think she's a little bit older than Poppy, so maybe the nerves weren't as bad there. But yeah. either
she
way,
she came like, and picked Poppy up after Poppy.
Yeah,
she did. Yeah. 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 Boy was trying to break them up.
Yeah. Well, those two families are close, right? Like going back to, you know, the Ryder Cup, Lowry's and the McIlroys go out for dinner and lot and stuff like that. So. And then the other memorable moment too from today was Jordan Spieth's son Sammy, who actually like took quite a pass at the ball there, and then just a really proud moment with his dad Jordan there, just all smiles on the course. So that was just amazing to see as well. It's cool to see these players evolve over the years as they become fathers. Brooks Koepka as well had some quotes this week just about how his perspective on life has really changed since he became a dad. And I know Mike and Tim, you guys are fathers and can really relate to this. I'm sure that your life and just your perspective on everything changes once you have a kid, right? And it's just cool to hear professional athletes talk about that as well. Brooks was such a cutthroat guy. I mean, he still is. I'm sure he wants to destroy everyone when he's on the golf course in a major, but that didn't used to be the way that you would hear Brooks talk about life, right? He used to have a very business-like approach to everything, and I think now he's a lot more grounded because your sense of the world is different when you have somebody to take care of.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like it. Tim, I'm sure you can attest to this, but you know, if you have a bad day at work or whatever it is comes up in life, you know, those kids just give you a different sense of perspective that you don't have before, you know?
Yeah. It's just the little things, me being a little older than you guys, my kids are a little older or so
a little
when
your kids are our age.
I just remember like when my kid was a senior in high school, he was a cornerback and their team was really good and he hadn't gotten a pick six yet. And no one really threw the ball towards him either. And I had been to every single game he played in high school from freshman year all the way to senior year. And he finally did it. And the joy you have inside is like a different kind of joy that any you could ever experience in your life. It's just all the hard work, all the things that you do, all the sweat, the blood, the tears, the injuries, the practice, the discipline, the teaching, that maybe some things that you may or may not have said to that person or to them, all rolled into one. Just to watch the joy on their face is just like, you can't beat it, man. You just can't. There's nothing that tops that stuff. Nothing.
Not at all.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. It's awesome to see the par three. And one thing of note, no winner of the par three contest has ever gone on to win the Masters in the same year.
Nick's you out.
So I think the streak's going to continue.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry.
MC incoming.
That's kind of funny. So let's move on to the champions dinner. So there was one very notable absence from the champions dinner this year, obviously, and it was Tiger. So here's a look at the champions dinner. So, you know, lots of legends of the game here in this photo. Scottie Scheffler obviously is the defending champion, so the dinner was served in his honor. You can see Phil Mickelson directly behind Scottie. Off to the right hand side, you've got Rom and Sergio together. Thought it was interesting. I saw Fred Couples was, where's Freddie? Freddie was standing beside Phil, which was interesting. I saw that when this photo came out. Every year we kind of dissect this photo when it comes out, right? And it's always interesting to see kind of where the guys are standing in the photo, because you assume that they kind of walked up together from where they were sitting, right? I know Tiger usually sits beside Jack at these dinners. And obviously a notable absence this year is Tiger. He couldn't make it to the dinner as he's still recovering from his surgery on his Achilles. And I guess didn't want to show up with a cast on, right? Because I don't even think he's probably in a walking boot at this stage in his recovery. He's probably still in a cast using crutches or a wheelchair.
That knee scooter.
Yeah, I don't think Tiger was going to show up in a wheelchair or crutches at Augusta.
No, I'm serious. That's probably what he's using.
You're probably
just the thought of him on a knee scooter, though, it's pretty sad, funny. But it's kind of funny, though. You know, just imagine Tiger Woods at a grocery store on a knee scooter.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, obviously, that he wasn't there because he likes to go. You remember, John, was it 2017 when he went? And then right after that, it came out like he could barely walk or...
Yeah. That's the year that he told Nick Faldo that like he was done and all that.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, you know, it's got to be pretty rough right now for him to not go. So it sucks, but you know what? He'll be back there next year. I believe he'll be playing next year. Mm-hmm. I believe he'll be winning next year. And then, and he'll be back in the picture, but he's doing some really cool stuff out there with Augusta, so that it's still that he's still felt there this week. Yep.
I would just kill to be a dinner table setting at that champions dinner to listen to all the stories. Like, can you imagine the knowledge and stories told by those guys? I mean, dude. I just always think about that. Like, I mean, Phil's probably got a million stories himself, and then Jack's probably got stories, and Tiger, and I mean, each one of those guys
probably have to sign a non-disclosure.
All right, for real. That's what I'm thinking. Exactly. Yeah. But that would just be cool to be in the room as a ghost and just listen.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing we're going to touch on too is obviously it came out on, I think it was Monday, it was before the champions dinner, but they announced that Tiger will be designing a par 3 course called The Loop, and it's at the patch at nearby Augusta Municipal Country Club, which Augusta National owns. It's just 2 miles from Augusta National. So this is a 9-hole short course that they're going to be designing or redesigning. Like, this is a rejuvenated course. So that's pretty cool, obviously, for Tiger and his TGR design firm. And then the other thing that they announced is he's actually going to be opening a TGR learning lab in partnership with Augusta National starting in 2028. I believe it's the third learning lab. I know they have one in Anaheim, they have one in Philadelphia, which opened not too long ago. And then this, I think this is the third one that's going to be opening in Augusta. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tiger's history with Augusta National goes back years and years. So yeah, apparently this is the fourth learning lab, I believe. So, I mean, that's pretty cool that he's going to have ties to Augusta National beyond just his playing career and his history at the tournament. But also for this, it's going to impact kids and provide educational opportunities to people that aren't as fortunate. So that's pretty cool when I saw that announcement come through as well. He did a video message. I assume it was filmed at home. But cool to see Tiger still involved in the Masters this year, even though he's not playing or participating.
And wearing that jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice little refresher.
So the champions dinner is pretty cool. Obviously, it's always a good event for the guys to come to, but I mean, it would have been cool to see Tiger at the dinner this year. It's too bad. I'm sure it killed for him to not be able to attend, but hopefully next year he'll be back playing in the tournament again, and we'll be back on track for that next major for Tim, eh?
Tim's the resident Tiger hater. I don't.
All right, for Hutch. For Hutch.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm not the resident Tiger hater. I try to be realistic about him because
who's not being realistic? Me?
He didn't win the Players, or I'm still waiting for that. So
towards Achilles.
This time was gonna be different, Tim.
I'm just the guy who I'll just have a different take every once in a while on Tiger. I love Tiger just like all you guys, but I'm still gonna bring it down to reality a little bit.
Tim is grizzled in his old age.
I'm very grizzled. I still remember where I was when he won his amateur when he came back at Sawgrass. It was man, that was awesome. Like, it was back in the days when I was back in the day real quick when ESPN wasn't showing a lot of amateur golf. That wasn't the thing until Tiger came along, and we were following it a little bit, and it was like, oh my God, he's five down. What's going on? And then it got to the point where they showed like the back nine of the last nine holes of it. I think they played 36 back then, and the putt on 17. Like, I've never seen a group of guys go wild for an amateur event like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, nah, he's just the best. That's all there is to it.
I was 5 years old.
Yeah, there's so many memories of him at Augusta, and he actually did put out a blue screen message this week, which is, I mean, no nervousness at all seeing the blue screen come through, given that he's injured already. But he wrote, "Partnering with Augusta National Golf Club to serve its surrounding community is truly special. My passion for education and golf dates back a long time, as does my relationship with Augusta National and the city of Augusta. This is a transformational opportunity to empower the next generation and deliver meaningful educational programming and access to fun and affordable golf. I am excited to work alongside Augusta National and see both projects become a reality." That was the statement that
Tiger put you out. Said blue screen mess. Okay, I see what you're saying now. I was like, what? Blue screen, but it's the text. I got you.
Yeah, the blue screen of death.
On the blue, but yeah.
This time, it was a positive message that was coming through.
Blue like Mike and I's shirts.
Yeah. Well, fellas, we could all use a stiff shaft in the bedroom, and Blue Chew can help. Have better sex with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets for better sex. And starting now, Blue Chew is offering a combo so strong, it'll knock your socks off and your neighbor's socks off. You'll have to move towns with the amount of noise you'll be making. Blue Chew Max has arrived, and it combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable. This combo acts fast and lasts. Great sex is just a few clicks away. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, and prepared and shipped directly to your door. The best part, it's all done online. That means no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at bluechew.com. And we've got a special deal for our listeners today. Try your first month of Blue Chew free when you use promo code NUCLEAR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code NUCLEAR, NUCLR. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's podcast.
That's why we wore blue. Sign
up. Hutch, you can only sign up once, just so you know.
There's an age-related joke to be made there somewhere for you, Tim.
Oh, I'm sure there is. So I had to get mine in person.
From my understanding, though, Blue Chew is for everybody. Blue Chew is a great company.
Yeah. Huge thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode, obviously. And we've actually got a special guest coming in. He's been on the show once before, but it's never been a better time to bring in Ryan.
That's my dog right there.
What's up, Ryan?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, bro?
Good, man. How are y'all?
Good. You ready for tomorrow?
Oh, man. So ready. What's so ready. It's Masters week. Best week of the year, man. I'm always ready. Like you said earlier, I'm ready in December.
Exactly.
Ryan, the reason that we brought you on this week is because there was some breaking news yesterday regarding JT. He is without his regular looper this week. Matt Minister hurt his back. So he's actually got Max Homa's former caddy, Joe Greiner, on the bag this week at Augusta. Just your initial thoughts on this. I mean, JT and Joe, you know, they have some history together, right? You know, these guys know one another. They go back a ways. What are your thoughts with having Joe on the bag for Augusta this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a little bit alarming. I think it was yesterday mid-morning I was getting people messaging me saying, hey, who's the guy on JT's bag out practicing or whatever? And I was at work, so couldn't really see it. And it wasn't Joe. I think it was a local caddy at the time. And then the news broke yesterday that it was going to be Joe. And, you know, initial thoughts are, damn, this is like the third time this has kind of happened at Augusta for JT, new caddy. But I mean, obviously you can't help injuries and stuff like that. So, and then when I realized it was Joe, I was like, this makes a lot of sense, you know, with the news of him and Max just kind of parting ways. And, you know, and I know JT and Joe know each other and are fairly close. So, I think in absence of Rev this week, like, I think honestly, like, who else better out there that's available than to have Joe on the back? I mean, he's walked Augusta National a ton of times. So, super excited that it is Joe. A little tentative overall, just because, like, you know, everybody has their cadences and everybody has their idiosyncrasies where, you know, you don't know how that relationship's going to work on the course, especially with JT coming in. You know, he's up there on the list of favorites. So, super excited for this week overall. Like, that's not going to be a damper in any way, but at the same time, like, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Understandable for sure. Here was the statement from JT that went out yesterday. It was right. He said, unfortunately, my caddy Rev hurt his back this week and isn't able to be on the bag with me at Augusta. Rev is resting up, so he gets better soon. I'm very lucky. Joe Greiner is a great friend and able to help me out last minute. Thanks, everybody. Now, obviously, the reason that Joe Greiner is available is because he and Max Homa parted ways. It was also revealed this week that it was Joe Greiner that made the decision to leave Homa's bag. So this was not a situation where the player fired the caddy. Some little bit of insight from Sean Martin at the PGA Tour. Max Homa said today that the split with longtime caddy and friend Joe Greiner was not his choice, but that Greiner decided to end their work relationship to preserve their friendship. It was not my choice, so it sucked, Max said. But we always had a deal that we're friends first, and friendship mattered more than the work thing, and he was wise enough to do what he did. It's hard, but I was happy that he did it. It sucks because I just pictured always walking fairways with Joe. I would rather walk life with Joe forever than this dumb game. So it's been hard to process, but also good in a way, because friendship does matter more than any of this stuff. I mean, just extremely humble and nice words from Max Homa. It's obviously not the best situation, right? Going back to essentially last July at the Open, Max Homa's really struggled on the course. He switched his clubs. He switched his apparel sponsor going into the 2025 season. He's with Cobra now. He's just been unable to kind of find it on the course this year. And it's been difficult to watch at times with some of the numbers that he's been shooting. I mean, all guys have gone through this at various points in their career. I mean, eventually you'd have to think that Max Holm was going to figure it out. I mean, it could really click at any point.
Too talented.
Too talented to just be in his, he's just in his own head a little bit right now, I think. But once things start to click and he sees better results, just gets into better repetitions, maybe it's just one part of his game that he needs to get confidence with, and then the rest will kind of flow through to the rest of his game. But I mean,
did that not sound like a celebrity breakup statement that he put out there? Like, I just was hearing that, like, what are we talking about here? But you're right, John. I did see that it was his decision, which ultimately benefits JT, I think, this week, because he's he's playing pretty dang good there, Ryan.
Yeah.
Playing pretty good lately. Yeah, he led our hometown Atlanta Drive to a championship.
100%. Yeah, and I was talking to a friend today, and he made a good point, and he said, you know, the hope is that Joe probably went to Max and is like, hey, we're such good friends. You're not going to fire me, and you need a different voice in your head. And hopefully that was a part of that whole statement thing. And I think that's probably more what it is. I don't think there was a ton of drama going around it. I think Joe wants the best for Max, and you know, Max probably just ultimately, you know, they're so close. They played golf since they were super young. You know, I don't know that he would have just kind of gave him the axe. So I think it looks really, really good on Joe, to be honest, that if that was the decision that was made, you know, I think he can hold his head high on that deal there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like you hear them say that they're friends first, and they've always agreed that they're going to be friends first. When you're when you see a player struggling like that, oftentimes you hear about them, for better or worse, taking it out on their caddy at times because they're frustrated with themselves. And if those guys just started to see that it was going to mess with their friendship, like, hey, we need to take a step back and just not do this anymore. And it could be part of that. And it could be part of what you're saying, that, you know, he's never going to fire me. So I need to step back for him, for the good of him. I can go get another bag, especially if you just stumble upon JT's bag for a little bit. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty solid bag to stumble upon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been saying since that news came out, I mean, Joe's not going to have a problem finding a bag. Did I think it was going to be this week? No, I didn't think it was going to be this week. But that being said, I mean, maybe the two coming together, maybe magic can happen this week. I mean, that's obviously my hope. Joe's very experienced. JT's playing very well. I mean, they've been around that track a ton of times. So, I don't really see a negative other than the fact that, like, hey, maybe there's a couple of moments where, you know, JT likes to hear one thing and, you know, Joe's used to saying another thing. Like, that could be the only thing that I could see as a negative, honestly.
Ryan, what do you think would happen if JT were to win the whole thing this week? Do you think he sticks with him permanently?
Who? Thanks, Mike, for putting me on the spot like that. I mean...
No softball questions over here.
Rev is such a good dude, and he's such a good cat. I don't see that there's any negatives that are happening between JT and Rev. So that's a really tough ask. Let me just say this: I hope it happens. And then
let's find out. Yeah,
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, let's all find out together.
At least he would get a better share of the winnings than if he was doing it for Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, I mean that's also true.
I thought you were going to go Max Homa there.
I also don't see him coming in and just replacing Matt Minister either, because that would be a slight on him, and they already have a good relationship. Plus, JT's been kind of finding form recently, like in some of the recent events. So, Ryan, before we let you go, what's your kind of prediction for this week for JT, considering the caddy situation and everything? What are you looking at finish wise for him?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. So, I have really high hopes for JT this week, just based off of form, right? And I know he's been putting in a ton of work the last couple weeks, especially on the greens, which, as I said last time and as I say all the time, JT kind of goes as his putter goes. And if JT's putting, he's got a chance. And there's no place that can showcase the wand better than Augusta National. So if he can putt well, I absolutely think JT contends this week. I think he's amongst a set of 10 guys that have a chance to win this week, to be honest with you. So I look for good things for him. I don't look for there to be, like I said earlier, I think that the pros outweigh the cons with having Joe in the back. I get it. It's a change, and every, you know, golfers are somewhat superstitious and like to have the constants be the constants, but You know, I do think he's going to have a really good week, and I would not in any way be surprised to see him, you know, within a shot or two of the lead, heading into the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be good to watch JT this week. And Ryan, I hope you enjoy the tournament this week, and all the best tracking. Tell everyone where people can follow JT on your account.
Yeah, absolutely. On X, it's at JT Legion _. You can follow me. I'll be tracking hopefully as much as I can, and posting everything, highlights. And one little bit of news, JT will be in the featured group tomorrow with Scotty and the amateur. So he will have a dedicated channel on the Masters app tomorrow. So everybody tune into that to check it out.
What's your prediction on what he shoots tomorrow?
I'm going 68.
Oh, okay.
68. I like it. Coming out strong. Yeah. Nice solid round tomorrow.
I can see it. I can see it.
I can't see it. Well, can't wait for it.
Thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. It's always great to chat with you, and I hope you enjoy the Masters this week. We'll see you on the account.
Yeah, thank you guys. Happy Masters week.
If you get a win, we'll see you next week too.
100%.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Go drive see on. Ryan.
There goes JT Legion. Always awesome to have him on. Thanks so much, Ryan, for coming on. I want to get into some live headlines too here. There's several different places we can go with this. Just kind of lump it all in together. But the first storyline today was that Chairman Fred Ridley announced that, unlike the USGA and the RNA, which have put forward a plan to allow a pathway for qualification to the master or to the majors, Augusta will not be doing the same. There won't be a direct pathway for LIV golfers to qualify. His quote was, "We can handle that with a special invitation." So, I mean, Augusta National and the Masters, they have the special invitation that they give out. This year it was Joaquin Niemann received the invitation, I think, for the second consecutive year. And then the other special invite, do you guys have off the top of your head who the other special invite was?
I don't, but I know that they've been doing this pretty much since the beginning of LIV, right?
Yeah.
They've been inviting people. So yeah. It's good of them. I'll look it up real quick and see who the other invite is.
Yeah, Augusta always does their special invites at the Masters.
Bojgaard?
Oh, yes. Nikolai Bojgaard got the other invite, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, are you guys surprised that he's making this announcement, or is this just more of Augusta doing – it's Augusta's game or world and we're living in it kind of thing, or what do you think?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, they're going to side more with the PGA Tour than LIV. I mean, it's simple as that, and – we all know that they're very old school, and I don't think they like what LIV stands for, just from what I see.
I don't think it's that, Mike. I think they're all about handing out special invites. I just think they're playing it down the middle. They don't need to create something because they're the Masters. Like, if you send an invite, they're coming.
Is it down the middle, though? Because it's only two guys.
It is, but you've got a lot of the bigger LIV guys have already qualified via their either other major success or winning the Masters in the past. Like, a lot of the big guys who from LIV that's big didn't get an invite is not playing.
I don't know. You'd have to tell me if you're the LIV defender
I can't. Right. So, like, I mean, you've got your Phil, Kepka's there, DeChambeau's there, Neiman's there, Garcia's there, Rahm's there. Like, all those guys are there. Bubba's there, even though Bubba's not a big guy anymore, but he's there. Like, you've got most of your guys have – it's unique with the Masters, right, because there's not an end date to your invite once you win, right? Like, I think they're just playing it down the middle. Like, they invited him. Now, I know they didn't do the Taylor Gooch thing, whatever, that year that he was on a heater coming into it. That's really the only example that I can think of where it's like a guy that maybe should have gotten an invite and they sided with the tour and didn't do it. I just feel like that most of the guys are already qualified for the Masters.
Well, they're qualified too because they're past champions. So as they get, I'll be curious, a majority of the names that you just mentioned had, they're all past champions. They get to play no matter what tour they join.
Seven of the 12 guys are past champions. So correct. There you go.
But that could play into their decision making to not create a pathway because they've already got most of the big names.
Right.
So I'd be curious to see as those guys get older and less competitive and the LIV guys drop out of the top, whatever, what the world rankings, then how many invites will the Masters actually give at that point? I think it'll be still a couple of years down the road before we really know if they're forward playing it down the middle. Yeah.
While we're on the topic of world rankings here in LIV, interesting moment from John Rahm's press conference. He was asked about his current world ranking and he was kind of having fun with it. He said, am I out of the top 100 yet? And then he was kind of asked, where does he feel that he ranks now? Just with all the talk surrounding the official world golf ranking and how it's not a good measuring stick for how good guys are. He said, I'm not going to say exactly a number, but I would still undoubtedly consider myself a top 10 player in the world, but it's hard to tell nowadays. So, I mean, this is kind of the point that we're at where, you know, some of the top LIV guys are kind of falling out of the top world rankings. I mean, John Rahm is obviously right up there at the top of the world, right? With his abilities and his skill level. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. He's still a top 10 player, but it's just, you know, he made his bed. Now he gets to lay in it. You know, if you decide to go over there, I mean, those guys all knew they were taking a chance and that nothing was guaranteed when it came to world golf rankings. So, you know, I mean, he can, you know, cry himself to bed with all that money that he signed for. You know, his life's great regardless. So, and he's a past champion, so does it really matter?
Do you guys take the official world golf ranking less and less serious now than you used
to? Absolutely. It's not really an accurate. It's not the real thing whatsoever. John Rahm, I mean, Data Golf, which essentially they put their list together based on all of like strokes gain data and all sorts of things to get a more accurate number. And on the Data Golf list, he's number four. Like he's literally number four in the world.
Is he closer to the fourth or closer to the 100th, right? Like,
yeah,
the official world golf rankings are a joke at this point.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty obvious that John Rahm's current official world golf ranking is not accurate. This has been going on for years now. This conversation's been going on for years. This isn't the first time it's come up. We're on the topic of LIV, obviously. Did you guys see Cam Smith on the range today with a suit on?
Yeah, he's looking sharp.
Yeah, that's crazy work right there.
So this was actually just, I mean, you guys know how it is, but this is just a big marketing play, you know, kind of shades of Bryson wearing that Reebok puffer jacket out at the Shadow Creek match. This is kind of Cam Smith's moment to do that. So, I mean, it got some play online, you know, lots of views, lots of shares. It's Grayson's suit jacket, right? Sport jacket. It's
embroidered with a Ripper GC embroidered logo.
It's got all the sponsors on it, the LIV logo.
I was 15 years old in the 30s, and that's how they used to dress. So I thought he was looking pretty sharp. Walter Hagen, Bobby Jones. I mean, I saw those guys. That's normal. So I thought it was pretty cool. Like, to me, it reminded me of, you know, being a kid when I was in the 30s watching those guys play.
The jacket that he was wearing is called the Sequoia Blazer. $500 on the Grayson website. So it was an interesting moment when you see him arriving on the raid. Like, it's definitely one of those viral moments, right, where –
yeah,
guys trying to make a statement out there and get some marketing attention for his sponsor.
I mean, is he going to wear that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? That would be cool. That would be cool.
It'd be cool, but I feel like that'd be uncomfortable, though. No.
Yeah, but all those guys back in the day used to wear that like every tournament.
No one knew better back then, though. There wasn't dry fit apparel back then, you know. There's
no I am sure fabric. That this is not fitting like a traditional blazer would.
You don't
like
think?
I know, but even then, though, there's no way that's as comfortable as just a regular polo.
You don't think they made it so that he's comfortable in it? They can do anything with this stuff. He's got to be comfortable in it. Otherwise, it is just a joke. So I don't know. They can make it comfortable.
Did they release scripting for him?
Cam Smith?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
I didn't see Cam Smith scripting. I mean, I'm sure it's not.
I don't even know if they did it for him, but
I hope he wears four suits and wins now. I hope he wins four suits and wins now. And they put a green coat over a suit on Sunday. It'd be awesome.
fellas, did you guys see? So actually, before we get in, there's a point I want to make about the official world golf ranking. But Victor Hovland was out there. He's with Jay Lindeberg. He was wearing this just obnoxious sweater.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have the picture to show, but I mean, we had the reaction coming in for this thing. It's just he's wearing a golf course.
It's like Jay Lindeberg is trying to do the Malbon thing.
Yeah,
like exactly. That's what it looked like to me. But it was a sight. It got attention, and ultimately, I guess as a company, that's what you want, right? You got eyes on it.
When I first saw it, it just reminded me of something you wear to an ugly Christmas sweater party.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah,
me too. I was like, oh my god. But
that's if you're really committed to the bit enough to pay $350 or whatever it costs to buy the thing.
Yeah, true.
Interesting point here. Last thing about the official world golf ranking. So the league CEO, Scott O'Neill, was actually on the grounds today at Augusta. I mean, no surprise that he's there. He's got, you know, all his top players are there, right? So it's no surprise that Scott O'Neill is on the grounds. But Josh Carpenter of Sports Business Journal actually reported that O'Neill spent a good amount of time speaking one-on-one with Trevor Immelman. That's notable because Immelman becomes chairman of the official World Golf Ranking Board tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, I mean, this has been a constant conversation, right, with regards to LIV and how they should be getting world ranking points. Remains to be seen kind of where things go with that. We're not going to dive too deep into it on this episode, but I think we probably haven't heard the end of the official world golf ranking conversation.
No,
we had to guess.
God, no. No shot.
Seems like it's no just kind of getting started. Bryson made some interesting comments about like, what would he do if he could create content at Augusta? He had an interesting answer. He said, oh my gosh, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about right now. Oh man, if I got the opportunity, it would be great to just film something that I don't even know. I'd love to talk about the history of this golf course. I think it would be really cool to showcase all the past champions and what Mr. Jones had done for this community and this place and Mr. Roberts, and just the history of it would be really cool to showcase. So, I mean, Bryson's a pretty smart guy, right? He gets asked about creating content at Augusta. He knows that it's like kind of not an appropriate thing to be doing, kind of flips it on its head and says that he'll showcase the history of the Masters through that content, which would be
while he's filming breaking 50.
Yeah. While he's filming breaking 50. I mean, that would be amazing content, right? But
from the ladies' tees that didn't exist 20 years ago
with Tiger Woods.
With Tiger Woods.
Could you imagine? Dude Perfect actually filmed a video at Augusta National, I believe.
Yeah, so it's not impossible. They did. Yeah.
Not impossible for sure.
Wow.
And then another interesting note is that Bryson was not competing in the LIV Duels event, which was on Grant Horvat's channel. And there was a little bit of speculation about as to why that is, because he is kind of the guy when it comes to YouTube golf at this point, right? So
he probably wanted it for his channel, I would think.
Yeah, right? There's some conversation about, I saw a couple of videos. Like, I don't want to speculate on it. We don't really know all the facts surrounding it. Just some speculation over kind of the deal and what's going on with his channel, kind of who owns it, that kind of thing. So I'm sure we'll probably hear more about that down the line. Maybe it has to do with the contract. Maybe he felt like he should have been paid more to be participating in an event like that. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think we've heard the end of the Bryson YouTube. It was interesting that Bryson wasn't participating in that event.
It gave all those other live guys exposure and an online presence to YouTube golf. He doesn't need that. He already has that. Yeah, so that's true. Could be part of it too. Who knows? There's a thousand different things that could be.
There's a lot of different reasons as to why that could have happened. Last thing about LIV, viewership came out this week for the LIV Miami event at Doral. So I guess, you know, people were comparing the Sunday viewership, obviously, right? So the Valero Texas Open had 1.74 million. Brian Harman won. That was down quite a bit. Like, that's down 20% from last year. And then LIV Miami on Fox had 484,000 viewers for Mark Leishman's win. That's the highest U.S. ratings to date for LIV in all of the events that they've had over the last few years. And then comparable to that, we also had the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe they had 900,000 viewers for that one. So, I mean, this doesn't include streaming, obviously. I have to include that disclaimer. Lots of people watch on the app as well, but this is just the hard line numbers from TV. Average viewership numbers from TV. So a little bit interesting there. All right, fellas, let's get into some Rory talk here, because we can't go a show without talking about Rory, right? Every week we talk about Rory, and he's kind of, you know, the favorite going into this week, I would say, by most people's estimation. So Rory actually, well, before we get into that, Brandel Chamblee made some comments once again about Rory, and he said nobody is going to feel more pressure than Rory heading into Augusta this week. I mean, Rory seemed pretty calm and composed at the par three competition today. I mean, I'm sure when things get going, what are your guys' expectations for Rory this week? Do you think he's going to get it done? Is it going to be like he's either going to contend, going to be near the top of the board, or he's going to be like down below the bottom of the pack? Like, he's going to make the cut, obviously, right?
Feels to me like I'm starting to get that feel for Rory at Augusta that I did for Phil in the U.S. Open. The more years that go by, Brandel's right. This pressure. He wants to win the Grand Slam so bad. This is the one tournament eluding him. He's been so close already. He's got to get off to a good start. I mean, he's got to shoot in the 60s tomorrow, in my opinion, in order for him to have a chance on Sunday. Because that pressure is going to mount. And he's the only guy in the field that's going to feel that particular pressure, not pressure, but that particular pressure of getting it done, because he's chasing something that's historic on a different level than most of the other golfers.
So where you got him finishing, Tim?
MC.
Missed cuts?
Yeah, that's
No, not a miscut, but I wouldn't be surprised if he hovers around. I wouldn't be surprised if he hovers around even to two under the first 3 days and then shoots 64 on Sunday and loses by three. Like,
that's what I was going to say. I could see a backdoor top 10.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that would be my guess. The first 3 days, the pressure will just be intense. Or
he just comes out and blitzes the field and wins by five. And that's not out of the realm of possibility at all. No. Like, he's that type of guy. Once he gets this thing rolling, I don't know, man. I think he's going to play better this year than he has in the past. He seems to be more at peace with everything than he has been. I know that there's a lot of hype built up about the pressure that's on him going into this week, but in the past, it feels to me more like I've seen him commenting on it more and him playing into it more, whereas this year, he's just kind of there. I don't see him putting a lot of unnecessary pressure on himself like he has in the past. He's just kind of there. If it happens, it happens. Like he's done everything he can to prepare for it. And it would not shock me in the slightest to see him win this tournament.
I agree. Definitely. I agree. I think that this is a year that Rory's really going to come close or get it done. I don't think he's going to be finishing like 15 to 20th or anything like that. I think he's going to be finishing firmly in the top three or four finishers. I think he's going to be square in the competition on Sunday, coming down the back nine with a chance. I see him being in the final group or the penultimate group. I mean, if you look back, he's T5 in 2020, cut in 2021, second in 2022, cut in 2023, and then T22 in 2024. Sorry, that was a mouthful to say.
That was a lot of twos.
So what John's saying is he's due for an MC.
Because I knew you were going there. I knew you were going there. He's going to get that one in front of it. He's going to win.
It's wild because the last time Rory won, it's crazy stat. I think Tiger's won a major. Tiger and Phil have both won majors more recently than Rory,
which is wild.
Yeah,
wild. Because I don't think anybody could argue that those guys are better than Rory right now.
And Spieth, I believe.
Oh yeah, he's a head case.
Yeah. I wish, man, Spieth. I wish he could like get it going, like get up there. There's Spieth, Rory, and Tiger are three of the guys truly that can move the needle. Spieth and Rory do have the it factor. Like Spieth is a huge name. Yeah. And when he gets into contention, people actually do watch. I've seen some of the ratings comparisons to when Spieth's deep in the mix, and it is like it's a huge boost to the tournament when he's up there.
The kids love him. The kids love Spieth.
Yeah.
Big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a likable guy.
I just know that if he's in contention on Sunday and he gets to 12, I'm turning my TV off for 20 minutes. I don't want to see that. For
is just like, it'd be super great. Like if we just had a stacked leaderboard Sunday on the back nine with Spieth and Rory and Scheffler and Koepka and Justin Thomas and some of those, just all of them within two shots.
DeChambeau. Lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them within two shots of the lead when we make the turn. That would be – it'd be heaven for all of us.
Yeah, well, 2019 Masters-type leaderboard.
Yeah, as good as it can be without Tiger being there.
Exactly.
Yeah, 2019 was an insane leaderboard. I mean,
Tiger – does it piss you guys off that they had to start early in the morning that day and we didn't get to do it in the afternoon?
Nope.
No, because who knows how that would have turned out if it didn't happen.
It does me, because as somebody who lived here, they were predicting huge storms that day and it didn't even rain.
Right. Nothing
happened.
I remember that.
I stayed up all night. It didn't even matter. They could have played it at 10 or 6 a.m. John knows.
I was fired up.
I was drinking the whole night, all the way through, all Sunday. And the better he got in contention on the back nine, I was like, oh my God, this really might happen.
I mean,
I slept in a red mock.
I had my red mock on the whole night too.
I remember I tweeted it out. I said, I'm sleeping in my mock.
Yep.
And I remember texting Tim too. We were like drinking beers at like 9 in the morning and stuff. It was crazy.
It was six in the morning for Tim.
I was still drinking from the night before.
That tournament was wrapping up by like 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, by the way, guys, we're gonna wrap it up on Rory, but he said the elbow was fine. So whatever happened with the elbow, it's been cured. Elbow is good. Yeah, I got a little bit of treatment on it last week, and it's all good.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so the elbow is good, apparently, according to Rory. So no concerns injury-wise for him going into the Masters.
Good.
Yeah, never even needed to mention it in the first place.
Yep.
All right, guys. 2028. I know we're all thinking about 2028. Summer Olympics are in LA. International Olympic Committee announced today officially that mixed team golf between men and women professionals is officially happening.
It's for over. The 2028 we got
Olympics.
We got That's Nelly. Right, it's over. It's over. We got Nelly. She's give us the gold.
Are there any kind of notable pairings, like, you know, for the guys and the girls that you'd want to see, or who do you want Nelly to be paired with, Tim? I know you're a big Nelly guy.
Oh man, Bryson.
That would be show.
Wild. That would be wild.
That would be awesome.
That would be sick.
Put her with Scotty too. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen them film tailor-made content together. It seems like they have a – didn't Scotty hit Nelly's driver or something like that?
Driver.
Yeah.
He might put it in his bag.
4,200 RPM spin on it or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. But they seem like they have a pretty good – I don't know. They gel pretty well together. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see – you know, the men and the women play in an event like that, like high stakes like the Olympics. I know, you know, going into the last Olympics, I think the hype was kind of muted going into it. I remember people were kind of like, it's just the Olympics, like, not a big deal. It all goes back to the previous Olympics where a bunch of guys had withdrawn because of I think it was like the Zika virus.
Yeah, that was
that kind of. Yeah, that kind of like put a damper on it for golf.
Right?
Was that 2016?
That was 16. And then 20, we lost a lot of guys because of COVID because it was in 2021 in Tokyo.
Right.
And then this past one was really the first one, I think, with the full-on field, right? Like where nobody just withdrew for some virus or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's they obviously felt the need to spice it up a little bit. So here we are.
The point is, though, like the 2024 Olympics for golf was compelling. I mean, we had Scottie Scheffler. I'm just going back. It's because everyone going in, you know, didn't really know what to expect. But I think coming out of it, I think people were happy with what they saw and what they felt while they were watching.
And it's going to be big here, too, because it's on the West Coast, right? Like it's at Riv, right?
Yeah, it's at Riv.
Yeah,
really. So prime time, like I know, speaking for me, like as an East Coast guy, like when you get those tournaments out west, like I love when the U.S. Open is at a California course or something of that sort, because you're watching till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night out here. It doesn't really kick off until like 6 p.m. You know what I mean? Like that's huge. I know a lot of the problem with the Olympics is if it's in Tokyo, like you got to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch it. Yeah. It's huge here for this. This is going to be massive. This will be the biggest Olympics for golf, at least in the Americas, or of who our audience would be anyway. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge Olympics for sure. And it'll be fun to watch some of the top men and women compete together as well. Not something that we see a lot. They're talking about potentially integrating women into the TGL going forward. I mean, there's at least some talk about it. I mean, it would be cool to see like an LPGA team on LIV, or at least mixing them with some of the guys based on location and whatnot, how they put those teams together. Definitely would be cool. Okay, it's kind of it for 2028 Olympics. Something to look forward to, but it's also, I mean, we're still 3 years away from it as well, so something down the line. They announced it today. I'm not sure why they announced it on the Wednesday of the Masters, maybe just to get some attention out of it kind of thing from the media who are all covering the tournament.
The eyeballs are on the sport of golf this month.
This week.
That was an easy call. This week is a good time to announce a lot of golf stuff because there's so much. Like, this is the one week, I think, where even if Tiger's not playing, there's massive eyeballs everywhere.
Right. People
love this week. It's just a great, great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Masters week is amazing. It's incredible. I mean, if we were to rank the majors, I think you guys would all put Augusta number one, right?
I would.
Hands down. Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see, before we move on to our viral Masters moment, I mean, it's not a video, but we got to talk about it. Brooks Koepka, actually, remember we were talking about those comments between Fred Couples and Brooks? Mm-hmm. Fred says that his comments were sort of misconstrued. He kind of responded to that this week, and it was basically he played it off as like, oh, my comments got misconstrued. It was all I was saying was that Brooks said that he wanted to play in PGA Tour events while still playing on LIV. I'm not so sure. Like, it's tough to say because Brooks, I mean, Brooks has to answer in a careful way, right? He's reportedly under contract through 2026. Yeah. But it was interesting. He did play a practice round this week. I think it was on Tuesday. Yesterday, he played with Couples, Adam Scott, and JT. So, yeah. I mean, that's as PGA Tour boys as it gets right there. We have a picture here from our tracking Koepka, the four of them on the bridge there on 12.
Good to see it didn't harm their friendship.
Yeah,
I was gonna say whatever it was, it didn't bother him that bad.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka is one of those guys that has just been respected this entire time. Even the likes, even the likes of Tiger and like the guys that are hardline PGA Tour have always had a respect for Brooks, and I think it just kind of stems from the fact that Brooks was honest, like you said, Hutch, with why he went. He said it secured his family's future. Yep. And then the other thing, too, is he never sued the PGA Tour. He wasn't part of that group that was suing the tour. No. So I think a lot of the PGA guys respect that. So he clearly has relationships. He also said earlier this week or last that he still has relationships with everyone at the tour. He said he talks to Monahan all the time as well. These are interesting comments to be making, obviously, while he's still under contract with LIV. Yeah. I think he definitely does want to play in PGA Tour events in the future, for sure. There's no doubt about it. Rahm as well has made reference to wanting to play PGA Tour events in the future, especially the big events. Like he often references Torrey Pines, where he's won, and he references the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Just because of the crowd and everything that tournament brings. So remains to be seen what's going to happen. We're not going to talk too much about it on this episode. This one's all about Augusta and the Masters. Before we head out and make our picks, viral Masters moment. I think we have a photo. Guy in a red shirt.
Who's that guy?
It's the 20th year anniversary of Tiger's birdie chip in at the 16th hole in 2005. This was one of those moments where you know where you were, what you were doing, how you were feeling. I imagine you guys remember this one.
Oh, yeah. I barely was able to get out of my rocker.
Mike, how old were you at this point?
I was 7 at the time. That was my first Masters that I remember.
Jeez.
Now, granted, I wasn't old enough to truly appreciate what had happened, but I did know that Tiger was my guy from that point forward. Mm-hmm.
Hutch, where were you?
Ooh, I was in high school. I was 15, just turned 15. But I remember it. And even back then, I remember like, oh, that's going to be a great commercial. Where the ball just rolled perfectly.
The Nike logo was perfect. Yeah, that was just, it was like a scene out of a movie, truly.
I was over at a couple buddies. Oh, go ahead, Hutch.
But then I'm one of the ones that also remembers that he bogeyed the next two holes and we had to go to a playoff after that.
People forget you went to that that playoff with, so is it Chris DeMarco, right?
DeMarco. Because they played a lot of golf because they had to make up some holes because of weather earlier in the week. So that whole tournament
was wild. There was a stretch on Saturday where Tiger was like 13 under for like 20 something holes or some obscene number because they had to play, like you said, they had to play all these weather delays, and it was such amazing golf like they had to, they teed off at like 4:30 on Saturday and Tiger was like five back and he was birdieing every hole. And so was DeMarco. And it was like, he wasn't making any ground. And it was like, man, come on. We just, come on. What else can we do? And then, you know, it was 20 years ago. I think he
came out Sunday and
Sunday morning.
Yeah. But I think he had in between finishing the third round and starting the final round, I think he had a wardrobe change. I don't think he started the day in red.
No, but
on Sunday.
He birdied his last three holes Saturday night, and he birdied the ninth. And then Sunday, he birdied 10, 11, 12, and 13. And on 10, DeMarco made double. And so he had taken the lead by the 13th hole. And back then, there wasn't as much coverage. The app wasn't that good. So we didn't know what anyone was doing Sunday morning. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was Tiger minus 11, DeMarco minus 8, heading into the final round.
Tim's like back at the beginning of the internet, kids. Oh, this is what happened.
It was bananas. It was nuts.
I got on my AOL dial-up, and here we were.
Hutch, how do you even know what that is? You must be old too.
But he birdied seven holes in a row. It was incredible. It was just, it was awesome. And then I went over to a couple buddies' houses for the final round, and we were drinking. And on 16, we all stood up at the same time, like, "How's that ball not going in the hole?" And then it's over, and we're like, "Yeah, we're running around the living room, spilling beer everywhere."
Tim says he was drinking, and Mike says he was sipping a bottle at that point.
Yeah, one of the two. I probably was drinking though. Yeah,
crazy memories going back that far. It's crazy to think that was 20 years ago now.
That's nuts.
Wild. All right, guys.
Crazy.
We're about to wrap it up. Before we go, we gotta go around the horn here and decide who are you guys taking this week. Tim, who are you taking?
I'm gonna take Rory.
You just said he's gonna miss the cut.
I was joking when I said that,
but I think he's playing really good. It wouldn't surprise me if he wins.
Mike,
I'm gonna go with the best major player of this generation, Brooks Koepka.
Brooks, all right, Hutch.
Oh, I'm so torn between there's Tiger. Three guys. Well, in spirit, Tiger's always the winner in my heart, number one in my heart.
That was great.
I'm torn between three guys. I'm torn between Rory, obviously, but I'm not going to pick him because Tim is a snake like that. The other ones are Morikawa and Justin Thomas.
Ooh.
And
I like the Morikawa pick too.
Yeah, I don't think I can go wrong either way. I got to do JT just because of the Atlanta drive. I'm trying to come up with a slogan, like a Russell Wilson type slogan for the Atlanta drive. Drive super on, cheesy. Drive forward. I don't know what we're supposed to do, but yeah, I'm going to go Justin Thomas.
Unlimited.
And I'm stuck between Rory and Bryson. And it's just because Bryson shot a 65 last year at Augusta. That's when he made a comment about the par. Yeah. He said he deeply regretted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was a par 69.
Don't mess with the gods. He said it was a par 68. Yeah.
Par 68.
Yeah, regretted that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And then he struggled after, right? Yeah. He struggled after because he kind of like set himself up there.
Didn't he come out super hot in 2019 when Tiger won? Wasn't he like the first and second round leader and then kind of fell off? He may have shot 65 on day one that year.
I think you're right. Brooks was up there as well, right? He was playing good.
Brooks held around, but Bryson didn't. But I remember in the final round, he ended up making a hole in one on 16.
Right. That I remember that now. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I just saw in one of his videos. It's the only hole in one he's ever made.
That is crazy.
I mean,
that besides the one in his backyard too.
Yeah.
if Rory and Bryson could both be deep in the hunt on Sunday, I think that would do a lot for golf.
Absolutely.
I'd love that. I mean, if somehow, some way we mix in like a Spieth in there, it would just be a dream for the Masters.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't usually all align like that, but some years it does, you know. You just never know what's going to happen. Some guys catch fire, they get hot. You know, these guys have played the course so many times, they know it. So it'll be interesting to see kind of who's in the hunt, who's in the running after day one. That'll be interesting tomorrow. It's always exciting to wake up and watch the ceremonial tee balls. Mm-hmm. You guys going to be up early to watch it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
My kids will make sure I'm up anyway. I mean,
that's like Tim may not go to bed type territory, but out there in California, what's it, like 3 a.m. for you?
Oh, doesn't matter.
4.
Close.
4:30, I think, Tim. 7:30, they hit their balls.
I thought 7:15 or 7:30 they hit the opening tee shots, and that's 4:30. I haven't missed one, and I'll be up. Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, we're gonna have Jack out there.
Yeah, I don't know how many more he can do.
Yeah,
I know. You guys will think this is cool. I actually wrote Jack Nicklaus a letter the other day. I just got it sent off, and you know he's really he's very generous about signing autographs. That, yeah. Remember that flag you sent me, John, the 2019 Masters flag?
Yeah.
That was, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I sent that for him to sign it. So hopefully I get something back soon.
Mm. Yeah.
It's wild. Should I send him my red mock turtleneck that I got?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I probably would sign it, dude. Yeah, he probably would.
Like, hey, and obviously not you, but
and sign it. Tiger's better.
Bryson shot 66 in the opening round that year.
Okay,
him and Kepka were co-leaders.
Yeah,
Jack. I could just picture Jack sending back that red mock neck. Like you saw that video of Tom Brady getting asked to sign an Eli Manning jersey.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be funny. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
Did you guys see Ovechkin's goal?
Yep.
Sure did.
Incredible.
Yeah. Everyone has probably seen it at this point, but just incredible moment to have, you know, Wayne Gretzky in the house as well to come on the ice. Like, what a huge ceremony that they had. The NHL just went all out with the ceremony. I mean, yeah. It's obviously a monumental moment for the league.
I think that the ceremony was 30 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mid-game.
Stop the game for 30 minutes.
Did you guys see the stats of how crazy their career was? Like,
didn't they play in the same exact amount of games?
Gretzky played in 1,427 games. Ovechkin was 1,426, and they were tied. And the very next game, he beat him by one. So they played the same amount of games and had one goal difference. That's
wild.
Incredible. Wild. Two great players.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Hockey guys are just different. John knows that. Ovechkin broke his leg like 6 weeks ago, and he's already been or 2 months ago, and he's already been playing. Any other sport, they're out for the season.
Yeah, you don't hear about those types of injuries until, you know, after whenever a team gets eliminated from the playoffs, like, as I know, as a miserable Rangers fan, you'll hear, you know, stuff will start squirting out and say, you know, somebody's been playing with a fractured leg or, you know, broken ribs and like, punctured lung. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, like you see all these guys in football now, like, you know, they have some sort of a sprain or anything, you know, pretty minor, and they're out for several weeks. You know, somebody has a grade one hamstring strain and, you know, they're on the shelf. It's just hockey's a different game and it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Different game altogether.
Yeah. That's because I can't follow the puck when it's flying around. But I'm Atlanta. We haven't had a team in a long time, although we may get one here pretty soon, apparently.
That'd be sick.
That'd be cool.
Like 15 minutes from where I live, which is going to be crazy. Shit. But
season tickets. Book it.
Yep.
We'll see.
Hockey is incredible. At like, if you go to an actual NHL game, it is a
I went to some Thrashers games before they left.
Were you old enough to drink at the time?
No, but I don't drink now.
Oh, well.
So
you're better man than me. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about a cold brew at a hockey game. It's just exceptional.
It's just being at a hockey game is incredible watching the speed they skate at. Like a TV doesn't do it justice, but you see the rainbow of ice when they cut, just spray across, and it's like these guys are going Mach neck speed on razor thin blades and can turn and cut. It's insane being at one at a game. It's very different.
And it's also the hardest team championship to win in pro sports.
The playoffs are just a whole nother level too.
Speaking of playoffs, John, do you think your boys are going to do it this year?
I don't know where they're going to do it, but like their team is built, you know, to have a good run. They have playoff experience. They have guys that have been through it before. And, you know, especially if they play the Leafs in the first round.
mean, they, sorry, were Brent.
They were 3-0 against the Leafs this year. I believe it was 3-0. So, I mean, you never know. I can definitely see them getting through the first round. And then after that, anything can happen. Last time they were in the playoffs was 2017. They went to the conference finals and lost to the Penguins. But see what happens this year. It's exciting. First time we've been playoffs in the city in 7 years.
Can I ask an absolutely stupid question that I'm sure is stupid, but I don't know anything about hockey, so I'm going to ask anyway. There's a lot of teams in Canada, right?
There's 7 teams.
Okay. Why is the team, I believe it's in Montreal. Why are they called the Canadiens?
Canadiens? I mean, it's...
When there's 7 teams in Canada.
I don't know the full history of it. I know like the Montreal Canadiens, like their kind of nickname is like Les Habitants, which is like,
but don't they have a lot of French people there too?
Right. Like there's a lot of French people. It's a French speaking place, Montreal. It's okay. Les Canadiens. So, ooh. I mean, their team goes back a long way.
Talk dirty to us, John.
The team goes back a long way. Like they have 24 Stanley Cup wins.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The blue chew hasn't gotten here yet. John, calm down.
It's crazy. Ellis, I think this is a good spot to wrap. It's been an amazing show. Can't wait to watch the Masters this week, guys. Everyone's going to be tuned in. Just a quick programming note. We're actually going to be going live on Friday night this week as well. After the action on Friday, we'll be going live.
We'll talk about Rory's missed cut there, Tim.
We'll have lots to talk about on Friday. And then we're actually also going to go live on Sunday afternoon during play.
Oh, cool.
We'll be live on Sunday afternoon, taking reaction live and engaging with you guys. So looking forward to Friday and Sunday's show. It's been an awesome conversation, fellas. Huge thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Visit bluechew.com, use promo code NUCLEAR, NUCLR at bluechew.com.
Thanks first so one's much, free.
Enjoy the Masters.
Yeah, let's go.
In the next episode of the Nuclear Golf Podcast.
See y'all Friday.
Good night.